This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is 5 minutes past seven. This is Pepper of Salt and Pepper. Salt's up in Sydney, swanning in the sun. Beautiful alliteration.
So I'm your luck.
I know. Hello, Salt, if you're listening. That is, of course, the lovely Serena Ryan. So I'm joined in the studio by a fellow who works at Channel 9. I don't know whether he's in the cafeteria or whether he's sweeping up the floors. I don't know what he does, but he works for Channel 9. His name is Leith Marshall. You may have heard him on Saturday Magazine already. Leith, welcome to Salt and Pepper.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming in and playing with us tonight.
Yeah, I've heard all about it and I couldn't tear myself away from the opportunity, so thank you for having me.
Well, it's a pleasure, and I'm very concerned. If I do appear distracted during the program, it's because there is something called Click Frenzy, which is happening, and I believe every second person in Australia is online buying stuff that they probably don't need for people that they don't like, or it's stuff that they probably just don't even want.
Yeah, I think you might be right there. It's probably going to be 90% off on discontinued electronics that may or may not give an electric shock to the user, and 10% off things
which is fine if you're giving them for gifts, but if you're keeping them yourself, you know, you don't want to you don't want to get yourself
a few home appliances,
exactly. And you know, it's probably just an orgy of capitalism that's happening out there. That, well, if I get a bit distracted, don't mind at all. Now we have a busy program. What's happening at 9? Is there anything exciting that you can talk about?
Oh, I think it's just the usual, getting ready to finish the ratings year. Only a couple of weeks to go before that wraps up, and we slug you with a bunch of repeats of 2.5 Men and Big Bang Theory. Jokes.
That's quite all right, because I like the Big Bang Theory. I think the unfortunate thing is I've watched every episode of that is available, so it doesn't harm to revisit.
I'm not even kidding. The first 2 episodes I ever watched were the same episode. I watched one, enjoyed it, went away a month or two later, watched another episode, same episode.
Shouldn't you be on brand a little better than that?
I'm just being honest.
So a lot of repeats over the summer. Look, there are a lot of folk who actually, that's also where they trial new programs, isn't it?
Which could be exciting. I think there's I've heard a lot of good things about some of the shows that are starting over in the US at the moment that we'll good. Soon be getting, so hopefully we
a
get
lot
some
that have come
gold.
In from the United States.
Yes, and there are some good ones out of the United States.
Well, this is how some of the shows that, like The Big Bang Theory, from memory, was a program that was sort of on late at night, and then all of a sudden it took off, and we've been enjoying it ever since.
Well, it's like Modern Family. I love that show, but it's probably not as much as the 10 programmers, because they seem to be repeating that as much as we do Big Bang. Yes. But, yeah, that's another one that I...
Because it's popular, people like it.
Exactly.
It's hilarious. I love Gloria. She's my favourite.
I just want to talk in an accent. See, that was terrible. I'm sorry, everyone.
You sounded like Arnold Schwarzenegger. It is 8 minutes past seven here on Salt and Pepper. We'd love to hear from you. 0427-JOY-949 is a number for a text message. You can email onair@joy.org.au, phone 1300-JOY-949, or you can send us a tweet to Salt in Pepper Joy. A big show. Obviously, today is the International Day of Transgender Remembrance, or I may have got the words wrong, but that's the point of today. We're actually going to be spending a bit of time on some transgender discussion in a little bit, and also some legislation announced today by the Attorney General Nicola Roxon around finally sort of putting together all of this anti-discrimination law into one basket. It's a piece of draft legislation at this stage, about 202 pages. Didn't get a chance to read it all.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, I know. A bit disappointing. I'm off the coffee.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
If you want to join in on the conversation, you can SMS us on 0427-JOY-949, which is 0427-569-949, or phone us on 1300-JOY-949. Email onair@joy.org.au, or visit our website, joy.org.au.
or you can send us a tweet to
Salt and Pepper Joy.
That is the voice of Leith. My name is Pete Dillon. Earlier this evening, about an hour ago, I had an opportunity to speak to the Federal Attorney General, Nicola Roxon, around Human Rights and Anti-Discrimination Bill 2012, which has been announced today, not yet passed into law, of course, but this is that chat. Nicola Roxon is the Federal Attorney General and joins me now to discuss this legislation. Nicola, I understand you're in the car, so thank you. Good evening.
Hello.
Thanks for joining us. Now, this is a fairly big announcement for our community, the Human Rights and Anti-Discrimination Bill. What essentially has happened?
Well, there's a couple of really important things. The most important, as you say, for the community you're broadcasting to is that for the first time it's proposed to have protection from discrimination on the grounds of sexuality and gender identity in our Commonwealth laws. And that was a commitment we made at the last election, and we are now obviously complying with that commitment and want to make sure that this is a ground of discrimination that's stamped out across the country. But we have also consolidated the five different pieces of Commonwealth legislation, age, sex, race, disability, discrimination legislation, and the Act itself, setting up the Human Rights Commission, put them all into one piece of legislation, one definition of discrimination, one definition of justification, and really by that process are hoping to make it much simpler for people to understand how it is that they should be treated properly and to adhere to those laws, and easier to make a complaint and indeed defend that complaint if it's an unmeritorious one. So sure. A very complex, big piece of work. Mm. But I think the kernel that might be of most interest to your listeners is the sexuality discrimination being a new ground protected under Commonwealth laws.
Which hasn't been done before. I was going to try and read all 202 pages of this draft legislation and haven't had time. But the key principles, firstly, lift the differing levels of protection to the highest current standard. So we're essentially punching some cover over a whole bunch of gaps here and a whole bunch of inconsistencies without, in fact, challenging the protections that already exist.
Well, that's right. I mean, the first of these pieces of legislation, the Race Discrimination Act, was passed in 1975. Mm-hmm. So you can imagine how the laws have developed, how modern standards have developed. So, for example, the most recent one, the Age Discrimination Act, has quite different definitions. And we want to make sure that there's a very simple definition of discrimination, which is unfavourable treatment on the basis of any of the grounds. And then, of course, an opportunity if a service provider or an employer has an allegation made, they can explain why or how that was justified. Mm-hmm. There might be circumstances. Obviously, it's justified that a blind person not be given a driver's license. But it's very simple then for the community to understand how their behaviour can be consistent with the law, and of course clearer if someone then needs to make a complaint that they think they've been treated unfairly.
Sure. Another one of the protections that exist is a streamlined complaints process so that people can actually make a legitimate complaint, and that process is far more efficient in making a complaint. Is that correct?
Absolutely, and not only slightly easier to make the complaint, but also an important change that if you think that you've been discriminated against on the basis of a combination of grounds, you might think as a gay woman that you've been treated in a bad way. As an elderly gay man, it might be as a mix of attributes. Instead of having to make those separate complaints, it'll be possible to make them together. So you streamline the process mm-hmm. that way. But then there's a whole vast array of procedural issues that are changing to make the complaints more easy to deal with and easier for the commission to act quickly on them.
Sure, and there's a shifting in the burden of proof then as well. Is that right? Do I read that correctly?
Look, currently the way discrimination matters are proved is it's up to the person who alleges discrimination to prove all of it, to show that they have the particular attributes, that they've been treated in a particular way, and that was because of the attributes, so sexuality or gender or another issue. Mm. What we're saying is what we're proposing is once you show the prima facie case, you make clear that you've been treated in a particular way and you show how that's been unfavourable, it then moves to the employer or the service provider to explain why, if they believe they haven't acted for a discriminatory reason, why they think it's justified. Mm-hmm. So it just means that the party who has the most information is the one that's asked to prove any component of the case. So it's not, it doesn't move it totally to the other party. It's a halfway combination, which we think means the person who's got the most information can make that point most clearly to the commission.
Sure. Now, there is a small craw in my side, and this is around religious exemptions. Why, under a federal anti-discrimination act, are religions still going to be able to be discriminatory?
Well, there's currently a whole range of exemptions that are in place. So, for example, for our school system, mm-hmm. and a lot of them have historical sort of background, and I think there are people in the community who would like to see those changed over time. What we've said is the real focus of this project was to consolidate five different pieces of legislation, lift everything to the highest and most modern standard, introduce the new ground of sexuality, and I think there'll be debate in the future about exemptions. We didn't pick up, for example, proposals to add even further grounds for discrimination like homelessness or domestic violence. Mm-hmm. There will be debates in the future, no doubt, about whether they should be added, but not as part of this consolidation project. And similarly, I think we'll see in the community arguments around those issues relating to exemptions as well.
Sure. And a final question, because I know that you have a very brief window of time to talk to us. Was it intentional to release this on an International Day of Remembrance for transgendered people, or is that purely coincidental?
Look, I know it would be nice to say it was intentional, but it wasn't. We've been working on this for a long period of time. Mm. We finally had everything ready to be able to act on. I think it's a nice coincidence, because it is clearly a very important change as part of this work, that people will be protected from poor treatment because of their sexuality. So as I say, I think that's a happy coincidence, but I couldn't in all honesty say that that was our plan.
Nicola Roxon, thank you very much. That's the Federal Attorney General, Nicola Roxon. Really grateful for your time. And no doubt, as this legislation unfolds and people become more aware of all 202 pages, which I do promise to read before I speak to you next, that you know, it's a very good day for our community. So thank you for your time.
It's a pleasure.
Federal Attorney General Nicola Roxon there on the announcement today around the anti-discrimination legislation. Leith, what did you think?
It was interesting. Yeah, interesting to hear her take as to, you know, why it's been changed and her feelings, especially about the religious exemption.
Yes, and I assume, I'm probably assuming our next guest is going to pick up on that. She is the convener or co-convener of the Victorian Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby, Anna Brown. Good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
Good, thank you. What did you think of that discussion with Nicola Roxon, and have they covered enough in this new legislation?
Look, I think we'll always be there'll always be improvements that could be made, but I think overall this is a really welcome initiative. As you said earlier, that it's a great day for our community. For the first time, we actually have national laws that recognise that discrimination against our community should be unlawful, and that sends a really important message to the community, but also makes a real practical difference to gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender and intersex people in combating the discrimination and prejudice that we face. So it doesn't go far enough, but it's certainly a very welcome and significant reform for our community.
Anna, is there anything in particular you can think of that you was on your wish list that you wish had been put on there today?
Well, it would be nice, and we'll be, obviously there'll be a lot of public discussion and debate about this over the coming weeks, but the issue of intersex people is one that obviously is close to the hearts of intersex people, but also their allies in the broader LGBTIQ community. Intersex people, whilst they're covered under the new gender identity attribute and not actually recognised to the extent that they would like to be in this draft law, the Tasmanian bill that recently was introduced had a much better formulation. It introduced a new attribute of sex characteristics. So it would be very welcome if we could talk to government about the possibility of adding or expanding the gender identity attributes to make sure that intersex people are recognised and protected in the way that they would like to be.
Anna, I don't wish to defend the Attorney General, but in that discussion I had with her, she said, you know, they couldn't sort of do everything at once. They had to, first of all, bring all the various bits of legislation up to the one level. So it sort of takes a lot of the bureaucracy and nonsense out of what sort of was existed as piecemeal. And they're now very much happier to then be able to down the track look at both intersex and also that removal of those religious exemptions.
Yeah, I think her willingness to accept that they hadn't gone as far as many in the community would like was really was good to hear, and her openness to future reform was really positive. The religious exemptions are something that are always hotly contested, and I think the fact that we have a carve-out for aged care for the first time in any jurisdiction, that is, aged care service providers won't be able to take advantage of the religious exemptions, is a really significant and positive step. And hopefully we can discuss with government ways that, you know, this principle, I guess the principle that vulnerable people in the community shouldn't be on the receiving end of discrimination, particularly when taxpayer-funded services are involved. So you could extend that as the aged care scenario to other scenarios like homelessness services, social services, children in school, other people in particularly vulnerable situations that often don't have a choice about their service provider. And, you know, the fact that faith-based organisations do deliver a large portion of services to the community, to their
Indeed.
Credit, and a lot of them don't discriminate in their day-to-day service provision. The Salvation Army, for instance, after its media attention earlier this year,
yes,
made it very clear that...
which this very program was responsible for, yes.
they made it very clear that they don't discriminate in the provision of their services. So
yes.
That sort of attitude is very welcome, of course, but it'd be much better if we could have that enshrined in law.
Indeed. Now, this will now become the subject of an inquiry that's conducted by Senate's Legal and Constitutional Affairs Committee, allowing community feedback prior to the legislation being introduced into the Australian Parliament. Is there an opportunity, you think, that the gay and lesbian rights lobbies, just not in Victoria but nationally, could actually go into bat for the intersex community to have that inclusion?
Oh, most definitely. There's already been a lot of coordination and preparation through the sector, for want of a better word. We've had a round table up in Sydney that was organised by the New South Wales Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby and a whole range of organisations, including transgender and intersex organisations, are involved in conversations about let's get organised, let's consult with the community about their views on these issues and develop strategies about lobbying and the public debate that's sure to come. So I think we're cautiously
optimistic
about our level of preparation and organisation. We've got, you know, we'll be going, obviously, talking to politicians, talking to the people on this committee, talking to the opposition and obviously the crossbench and the Greens and all the players that will need to get on board to make sure that we get the best outcome for our community.
Anna Brown is the convener of the Victorian Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby. Anna, are you still looking for a male co-convener?
We are, but I'm very happy that we just had our AGM and we've got a whole bunch of new, very enthusiastic committee members or board members, and including some male ones.
So excellent. I believe Luke Garner's just enjoyed you as joined you as well.
Yes.
Yeah, good stuff.
We've got some great new talent, so I'm
excellent.
Sure it will only be a matter of time.
And something on the 15th anniversary on Saturday night at the Bally Union Bar in Carlton.
Oh, sorry.
No, that's what I was just going to say. We've got to wrap this, but people can go to your website, vglrl.org.au, and find out more about that 15th anniversary. Anna, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you.
And good to have your feedback on that discussion. That's Anna Brown. She is the convener of the Victorian Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
And Leith's tagged along for the ride this evening. You're listening to Salt and Pepper. If you want to get included in the, be a part of the conversation, you can contact us via SMS 0427 Joy 949. Call us 1300 Joy 949. Email us on air at joy.org.au. And understand the Twitter address is Salt and Pepper.
Salt and Pepper Joy.
There you go.
I was just busy looking for Click Frenzy. Apparently the site's down. So there's, you know, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of bored people who are home trying to buy useless crap online and they can't because the site's gone down.
They should just tune into us to pass the time.
They should, while they're waiting for the site to come up. Rest of the show we're going to dedicate now to International Day, the Transgender Remembrance Day. I keep getting the words, I think, in the wrong order, but we would like to honour those people, those transgender people who we've lost in the past, who we've lost to suicide and to those other various reasons that people do take their own life. And also to illness and all of that. So we're going to spend the next half an hour talking around transgender, but this is a grab from a movie that's about to be released called Becoming Chaz. This is the story of who was Chastity Bono, now Chaz Bono, the daughter, now son, of Cher and Sonny Bono. So have a listen to this, and it'll probably preface our discussion quite nicely.
And here's our own very special guest, our little girl Chastity.
It's hard because when she was young, she was just like the cutest girl, and I made clothes for her, and, you know, she was just my little girl.
I've hated my body since puberty. In high school, often at night, I would go to bed praying that I'd wake up the next day as a boy. But sex change never occurred to me at that point. It's kind of a weird time for me because everything is changing. There's so much I just didn't realize until I went on hormones and started to feel comfortable.
Luke, you're flat. You're flat.
Love you.
I love you too, babe.
Having a male chest was like the missing piece of the puzzle got put on.
I can't believe it.
As a man trapped inside a female shell, I was very cut off from the whole world. And now, for the first time, I'm living in my body and it looks the way I want it to. It's making me feel more confident.
It's just my life.
How's your mom? Does she go with the flow and everything?
You gotta talk to her about that.
I wasn't that happy about that, I have to tell you. I said, you know, can't you just do it quietly?
Okay, here we go.
I'm doing this because I want to try to help people. You know, I want to put a face on an issue that people don't understand. That's why I did this publicly.
There's public, private, and there's just public.
I would think your mom would accept it real well.
Yeah, it's hard for moms.
I'm afraid she's not going to be healthy. I'm afraid it's too much for her. And I worry about the drugs that she has to take in order to keep this. I don't know that much about it, but I want to make sure that whatever it is not going to hurt her.
There's a lot of stuff that she really doesn't know because I haven't told her. And a lot of it's been, you know, my fear of rejection.
Transphobia's got to go.
This is a hard thing for people to grasp. I mean, you really have to open your mind because so few people struggle with any kind of gender identity. I mean, people really take for granted that they feel right in their body.
That's an audio grab from the movie Becoming Chaz, which is the story of the transition of Chastity to Chaz Bono, and of course happening today on the Transgender Day of Remembrance. It's been it was started in 1998 by Gwendolyn Ann Smith, who is a transgender graphic designer, columnist and activist, to memorialise the murder of Rita Hester in Massachusetts. And it's now happening. There's events happening all around the world, and we are going first of all to our very own transgender correspondent. She is from New South Wales. Kate Doak talks to us fairly regularly. Kate, good afternoon. Good evening.
Good evening, Pete.
And an important day for all of our community, but more especially for yours.
Well, I think that any day like this where we've had a new anti-discrimination bills come forward, we've also had people celebrating who they are. I think that any day like this is worthy of, like, praise and celebration.
Okay, what does it mean that that your community is recognised. And I say your community, I don't want to be discriminatory here at all, but it is a Transgender Day of Remembrance and not a GLBT Day of Remembrance. What's it mean to be able to remember those who have died because of transphobia, whether it's whether they have taken their own lives or in fact have had their lives taken unnecessarily?
Well, I think that days like this, they show us where we've come from in terms of like the amount of violence that we've encountered, the various types of discrimination that we've encountered, whether they be financial, legal, religious, or any type of discrimination. And it shows where we can go from here as well, because there's a lot of trans people who are really starting to get high up in their various careers, for example, like people who are in the military, like Catherine McGregor, who's recently come out. She's a lieutenant colonel in the Australian Army, and she's also writing a book. There's other people like Janet Mock over there in the United States, for example, who are showing that just because you're trans or you're gay or you're lesbian or whatever, like you can get in and succeed in life and do whatever you want to do and be whoever you want to be.
I suppose today is also an important time to bring up the campaign to have transsexualism removed from the World Health Organization's mental disorder list. Have you...
I think that that's a pretty major thing as well, because what a lot of people don't realize is that when the when homosexuality was removed from the Diagnostic Statistics Manual and all of that back in, I think it was the early 1980s, gender identity was never touched at that particular point in time. If anything, since then, it's actually become more draconian in terms of how trans people are addressed by various different parts of medical fraternity. And that has been changing over the past 5 years with the review of the latest DSM, which is DSM-5, and I've got high hopes for that particular side of the medical and psychology community as well.
We're going to be speaking with Michelle Diamond, who is from the Gold Coast, who is petitioning for the removal of transsexualism and transgenderism from the World Health Organization. We'll talk to her shortly. Kate, more good news from just a couple of days ago out of The Guardian, that a woman in Cuba has become the first transgender person to hold public office in that country, winning election as a delegate to their municipal government in Kyberian in Cuba, which is not necessarily one of the world's most tolerant countries. So that's got to be sort of supporting what you were saying before about people getting to high levels of their career.
Yeah, definitely. And it actually goes a little bit further than that as well, because during a recent US election, a trans woman was elected to one of the state parliaments in the US. If memory serves me correctly, it was either Maine or Pennsylvania. So there's definitely a lot of trans people who are really starting to take a really big step forward in terms of public representation, and also showing that just because a person is trans, that that's only just one small part of who they are as a person. So, you can have democratic trans people, you can have republican trans people, you can have trans people who follow any form of ideology, and people are only just starting to realise that, in the same way that people have only just realised that you can have both right-wing gay people and also left-wing gay people.
You can even have left-wing straight people, Kate, God forbid. Look, it's good to talk to you, and I sort of wanted to get a sense of how much discrimination you encounter from within our own community.
Well, I think it depends in many ways in the locality that you're in, because I've run into a lot of people who are really supportive in metropolitan areas, and I've also run into a lot of people who are supportive in rural areas as well. However, it's tended to be I've found, even within the gay community, that there's a lot more people who are accepting of whoever you are when you're living in a city than what you are in certain parts of rural Australia. But then again, at the same time, I know of a number of people who have transitioned even up in far north Queensland, for example, who have had tremendous levels of support from both the gay and also straight communities in their rural areas. So, I think it's what you make of it. If you're surrounded by positive-minded people, you're going to get acceptance no matter what. If you're surrounded by people who are consistently negative, well, you're not going to get support.
Correct. Look, Kate, on this International Day that we do remember our friends who have passed, we also celebrate that we are taking great steps forward, and probably not necessarily as big as we would like, but great steps forward in recognising all members of our community. And we wanted to talk to you and let you know that we are standing beside you this day, that is an International Day where we do remember. So thank you for talking to us.
Yeah, and just before I go, there is one other thing I just want to quickly plug. Remy Mandow from Community Brave has put up a really fantastic lot of videos over the past couple of days in regards to any bullying and all of that, whether you're trans, gay, lesbian, straight, bi, whatever. I really, really hope that everyone goes and has a look at those particular videos. And same thing with a comic strip over there in the US that's just had a transgender character come out as well, questionablecontent.net, definitely worthwhile checking out.
Kate, thank you, and always good to talk to you. We'll tweet that, so it's questionablecontent.net. That's Kate Doak. She's our semi-regular trans correspondent from regional New South Wales. Kate, thanks for talking to us.
Always a pleasure.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Welcome back. You're listening to Salt and Pepper on Joy 94.9. Our next guest is Michelle Diamond, who's a trans activist who fights for the rights of the transgender community and for the health and well-being of all people within the LGBTQI community, and to create awareness around Australia and also worldwide. She's based on the Gold Coast, and she joins us now. Hi there, Michelle.
Hi, everyone. Thank you, Joy, for having me on tonight.
Oh, a pleasure, Michelle. Look, we wanted to talk to you because obviously it is the Transgender Day of Remembrance, which is being remembered all across the world, and probably a very timely point to have a discussion about the removal of a classification on the International Classification of Diseases with the World Health Organization. You're agitating for this change. Talk us through what you're wanting to see changed.
Well, basically, Jenna tackled over from Miss Universe, the first trans in the Miss Universe pageant. I think everyone knows about her and the drama that happened with her, being trying to get ousted out of the pageant, but then re-signed, put in there again. She was actually the first one to launch this over in Canada. Then, and I saw that I was signing the petition as well and petitioning it as well. Basically, this means for us a lot of changes. This can change transgender history if this classification is changed. I mean, none of us feel that this is a mental illness whatsoever.
And rightly so. We're just speaking to another of our transgender correspondents that we talk to semi-regularly on this program. In 1990, homosexuality was removed from the World Health Organization's list of mental illness. And it's well beyond time that... is it transgenderism or transsexualism? What's the term we're after?
Well, basically, it is transsexualism, but we also include, the intersex section as well.
Yep.
And then, because basically they're classing us as as mentally ill.
Yep.
So yeah, transsexualism. As I sort of don't like that term either.
I'm not fond of it.
Most of us just like to be called a woman and be on with it.
That's it.
But yeah, that's basically what we sort of class as at the moment.
And so how
the medical term.
Sorry, Michelle. So how's the campaign faring so far with the petition?
Well, This has been absolutely snowballed. I mean, this is my fourth radio interview I've done on the subject, third interview I've done on the subject. It's just come out on the Gay News Network, an article just yesterday came out about the whole campaign, and I share my personal story with the world and how I've struggled, but I've managed to get out there and be able to be myself no matter what they call me, no matter what the classification is, and that there is light at the end of the tunnel for everyone else. And there's a few more articles coming out. There's a new press release coming out very soon with more of my personal story and more of why this should be reclassified and rechanged. So hopefully, and you know, coming up, we've got Transgender Awareness Week happening right at this moment. Today is actually my birthday, so I'm actually born on Transgender Day Remembrance.
Oh, Michelle, many happy returns, and that's kismet, that is.
Thank you. And I just saw it, like, the way I saw it. I mean, I began being an activist 4 years ago, and I looked up all these transgender deaths and all this happening, and I tried to find a date to remember these people, and I actually came across it, and that's how I found out the date and everything, and that's it. I just snowballed from there, from advocacy. You probably would remember me. I started the campaign to remove the transphobic ad by Libra earlier this year.
Right, yes.
And I started that campaign, and that snowballed, and we had them buckle within about 48 hours.
Fantastic.
I've helped, and I keep fighting, and I always fight, and I think this is one of the biggest campaigns that we're all involved in. I think all of us as a whole, as a community, and everyone around the world, we're all involved in this. Mm. It takes one to start a petition, but it takes everyone to sign it, share it, you know, put it on much in networks and say and tell us how you feel and tell the world how you feel, because that's how they're going to know, you know, why this should not be classified as a mental illness.
Exactly. Now, look, Paul Martin, who's a mental health professional in Queensland, he's Queensland's principal psychologist, he said that we're 20 years behind the levels of understanding of gays and lesbians, but he's also stated that there seems to have been a spike in the number of transgender people coming out, and he suggested this is prompting some concerns around the mental health crisis and agencies not ready to deal with that. Would you agree?
Yes, well, actually, I've met Paul Martin personally. I managed to get to meet him at the Trans Health Conference in Australia up in Cairns. And it is, I mean, it's basically the government send us off psychiatrists and psychologists as a band-aid cure, really, because there's not much knowledge out there of how to, you know, deal with it. So they send us off to a psychiatrist or a psychologist, and they think that's it, that's going to fix the whole thing. And it's putting pressure, as Paul Martin said, it is putting pressure on that system when they can basically bring this out as a it should be recognised as a medical condition, I agree, but not a mental illness. And hopefully we can get some better healthcare benefits, because our clinic here in the Gold Coast, Queensland, the transgender reassignment program has been shut down because they had 180 new cases of transgender people coming out. Now, and it's putting pressure, as the new government is closing down our centres and our clinics, it's putting pressure on the other clinics that are open, plus the other psychiatrists around the place. And there's just lack of, you know, lack of funding, lack of government, not only on the state, but the federal level as well.
Michelle, do you think that the medical field nationally is trained well enough to deal with this in a sensitive and responsible manner?
Depending, I mean, at the moment, I've got to say no. Not at all. I've written to the Prime Minister so many times. The Human Rights Commission are on our side. I've spoken to them via email. They're quite happily on our side and quite happy to push our gender agenda, across the board all the time. But the Prime Minister is just not listening, and just says, you know, there's other places like Beyond Blue and Headspace and all that, but this is not enough.
Okay.
We need a healthcare system for us.
Michelle, look, it's terrific to talk to you. We wanted to talk to you today, being the Transgender Day of Remembrance, and we also stand by you and honour you and those people that that have gone from our lives unnecessarily. Thank you for joining us. I understand it's a day that you should be now probably going to have a glass of wine or something, given it's your birthday. So we do wish you many happy returns, and thank you for joining us tonight.
Oh, so thank you very much, Joy Finn, for having me, and hello to all listeners out there.
It's a
thank
pleasure.
You very much.
That's Michelle Diamond, a trans activist from the Gold Coast, and celebrating her birthday today.
I'll have a piece of cake for her later on.
I'm sure you will.
Maybe
I won't have the glass, so I'll have a herbal tea.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Welcome back to Salt and Pepper. Almost at the end of the show, Pete. I'm a bit sad.
It is.
Over but before it almost begun.
It's yes, but it's been a good show. Look, we need to... that song was Shine by Cyndi Lauper from her 2004 album Shine, released only in Japan, oddly enough, that album.
Really?
But I managed to get a hold of it, so it was quite all right. I'm a very big fan of hers. We need to thank Ben Ryland for the news, because we didn't do that at the top of the show. So thank you, Ben. We need to thank our very talented technical man that does most of our hard work, Matthew Nock, who's sitting here at the desk, furiously scribbling and pushing buttons and trying to put out a small fire on the desk. So thank you, Matt, for your hard work. Lee, thank you for coming in and playing with us this week in Serena's absence, and we might have you back, I think.
Oh, thank you. I had a great time. Hopefully I didn't put anyone to sleep out there.
No,
hope you enjoyed it.
Of course not. And, of course, Serena will be back next week. Spirit Lounge is coming up very shortly. They'll take you through all things spiritual. I will be back with Serena next week, another Tuesday evening full of news and current affairs. Until then... well, keep yourselves nice if you can. And we'll see you next Tuesday. Bye.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.